entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
So Rudy Giuliani is a bad guy for expressing a doubt about our president's love of America, of the America that so many of us envision, and he is not in any political power seat. Barack questioned George Bush's patriotism as a senator, and that's okay. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Gore called Bush a betrayer and liar. That's okay. Well, all I can say is ho-hum. But don't you get bored. This is the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer. I'm Lair Adams here with an all-star cast, including our host, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thanks so much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us on this beautiful, let's see, I guess it's still winter weekend here in Central Florida. That's right. You got us live as we depart on our three-hour Sunday evening.
Yeah, it's so cold out there in this winter, isn't it?
Classic edition tour of the American Adversaries. And don't forget, we're coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free. All right, yeah, we're live here tonight, folks, so you can be a part of the show at any time. Keep that phone handy because we will be doing our Who Said That contest tonight, the traditional version. 407-774-8255 is the number. That was Lair Adams. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio tonight, we have our executive producer, Nostra Dennis.
Good morning, everybody.
Wait a minute, just get the mic on. What's that again?
Good morning, everybody.
There you go. Right. We also got, Johnny Guns, our WTF newsman.
So much news going on this week.
I'm telling you, where are you going to begin? I mean, you're going to have to just sort of toss them up in the air and see whichever one comes
down
first.
See what sticks.
That's right. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge.
How you doing?
There he goes. So we are in good shape tonight. And we got a big show lined up. Carl Jackson won't be here. Last night, his wife, or I guess it was early this morning, his wife Betsy.
It was dark, at least.
Okay, ran the half marathon out at Disney World, so congratulations to her for that. And Carl was with her, and then they have a church activity tonight, so Carl won't be joining us tonight.
But did he run too?
I don't think so.
No, you know, I was out there. And I didn't see Betsy. I saw 25,000 runners there. I didn't see her. It was the Princess 10K. There were a lot of princesses and a lot of people in Snow White outfits. Some of them were women.
And Dennis, if you're looking for Betsy, you won't see her. She's just a blur.
Well, she was. Yeah, I'm sure she was. There were a lot
of Carl is following the blur.
All right. And they went from Epcot to the Magic Kingdom back to Epcot. All within like 2.5 hours.
Whew. Crazy. I have a car for that.
At least it was a beautiful morning for it. So hope each and every one of the runners enjoyed themselves. We do have a big show lined up for you tonight. We're going to talk about a story I gleaned from the sports pages today, which has very little to do with sports, only in sort of a tangential sort of way. But we'll be talking about that because our good buddy Ben Crump is right in the middle of it. Of course, you folks remember Ben Crump from the Trayvon Martin fiasco that he orchestrated. Also going to talk a little bit about this judge's decision in Texas over the the executive action that Obama was prepared to take last week having to do with illegal immigrants, because I'm going to predict here tonight, I'll do it right now, as a matter of fact, that judge's decision is going to stand. It's going to stand all the way to the end. Obama has been thwarted.
What makes you say that's going to stick, though?
You will see when we talk about that case here in a few minutes. Also, later on, we're going to talk about what I'm calling the undignified argument that Jay Johnson was all over the TV stations this morning talking about. We can't recognize the Islamic State terrorists for being Islamic terrorists
because
we can't dignify them as such.
No, he's right. He can't recognize them. That's the problem.
Well, we do, and we're going to talk about how that argument...
So if you close your eyes to it, it goes away.
Right. Oh, yeah. You close your eyes.
We're going to talk about how that argument not to dignify the enemy is an undignified argument and lunacy, to say the least. We'll also spend a few minutes talking about Rootin' Tootin' Rudy Giuliani, and as Lair mentioned in his opening comments, we have Roxy Astor, who's going to join us tonight, and she is the Park Avenue Knockout.
If you want a preview, go to our Facebook page, put in American Adversaries, put up a link to a video where she was up against another gorgeous lady of wrestling named Hollywood. Let's just say... she smacked her down.
And I think you'll enjoy it, too. And, of course, Patricia Summerlin, Sunny, our California Glow Girl, is going to be with us tonight. WTF News with Johnny. Stories from the past from Nostradamus. Lair is clutching his closing comments to his vest like a winning hand of cards. So we got a lot to do tonight. But before we get rolling too far along here, I want to remind you folks, alert you in case you haven't found out, that there will be a free screening of the movie American Sniper. Actually, two. One each Tuesday night and Wednesday night this coming week. And both screenings will be at 7:30 p.m. at the Fashion Square Cinema, the Premier Cinema 14, I should say, at Fashion Square. And, of course, that's right there on East Colonial Drive. They are free. The tickets are free. You need to go to am660theanswer.com to either download or print out your ticket to either night. But if it doesn't matter if you've seen the movie before. If you want to see it again, here's your opportunity to do it for free. And if you have not seen the movie, here's your opportunity to do it for free. Can't beat that because the movie is still in the big screens, I believe.
It is, yeah. It's up over the $330 million gross mark now.
Oh, that's fantastic. We won't be adding to that, but we will be adding to the Ides who have either seen it for the first time or for repeat performance. I'm going to be attending the Tuesday performance, so please come out and join us. And as a matter of fact, if you want to call in now and give us your name, we'll reserve for the first five callers five tickets. If you want to do that right now, 407-774-8255. As a matter of fact, we'll reserve five pairs of tickets to the Tuesday evening show. And I'll be there, and I'll have your tickets clutched in my tight fist. And if you want to call at 407-774-8255, we'll take the first five callers who would like to attend American Sniper with me at Tuesday night at Fashion Square Cinema. 7:30 p.m. And also, while we're on the bulletin board type stuff, the awakening is rapidly approaching. It is now only 3 weeks from yesterday, March 14th, 8:30 to 5 at Faith Assembly Church. That's on Curry Ford Road, East Curry Ford Road. And the tickets are $20. They're going fast, and the speaker list is getting longer. Governor Huckabee is going to be there. Former Senator Rick Santorum is going to be there, the founder of Liberty Council, who is sponsoring the awakening, entitled 2015 Rebuilding the Wall. Matt Staver is going to be there. Pastor James Robinson is going to be there. Frank Gaffney, who is very schooled on Islamic teachings, is going to be there. Kamal Saleem is going to be there. Who was raised. No, I don't think Rand Paul's going to be there. He's already been to town.
I thought he was.
No. That was the Lincoln Day dinner. Kamal Saleem is a fellow who was raised by Hezbollah to be a terrorist who eventually became a Christian. Fascinating story there. And they added two more. Right, Nostradamus?
A couple of reverends. Our friend Reverend Raphael Cruz, Ted Cruz's dad, is going to be there, as well as Reverend Franklin Graham. And he has been making headlines recently with some of his bold statements.
Absolutely. And you can go to theawakeningusa.org to get your your tickets. That's theawakeningusa.org, or go to lc.org, Liberty Council. That's what that is, lc.org, and you can just follow the banners there to get your tickets. $20. We'll get you there for the whole day. I know Carl Jackson is planning on doing a live remote broadcast of his show, which, of course, will be from 8 to 9 that morning. So it will be a great way to kick off the morning. So hopefully you can come out and join us at either one or both of those events. All right, let's get down to some business. Well, first of all, congratulations to Joey Logano.
What'd he do?
He won the Daytona 500.
Won the 500 today.
Good for him.
The 57th annual running of the Daytona 500, I'll have you know.
The young kid did it.
He sure did, and it was a fantastic race. Of course, I was heading up here to the studio during the best part of it, which is the end of it. But they were three wide for like 25 laps there.
That's the way to do it.
Not just the front row of cars, but every row of cars was three wide going around the track.
Did anyone pass anyone in the course of the race? It sounds like the way they started.
Well, when they get three wide like that, it's very difficult to pass, but there was some passing going on, and then, of course, eventually they sort of strung out a little bit, and then there was an accident or an engine blew, and it was a green-white finish, and Joey Logano was able to pull it out.
Good for him.
And Jeff Gordon's last running of the Daytona 500, he owned the first half of the race, but sort of faded in the second half of the race. Do you know what place he finished, Johnny?
He finished 32nd.
Jeff Gordon finished
33rd, excuse me.
Wow.
33rd.
Can you imagine? I remember when he was a rookie. It doesn't seem that long ago. And now he's retiring?
He's getting out more or less at the top of his game. Yeah. He's not waiting around like Willie Mays and some other, Tiger Woods. Yeah. He's getting out at the top of his game while he's still got a lot of good racing left in him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a young family that he would like to spend some time with. You know, he's been in racing ever since he was about, 4 or 5 years old, racing go-karts. And so I guess he's ready to do something else.
Oh, so many
I'm sure
racers.
He'll still be involved in racing, though, but just not as a driver.
There's unfortunately way too many racers who end up their last race is their last day on Earth.
Well,
and so he wanted to avoid that, I'm sure.
With two young girls, young daughters, I'm sure that played into the decision-making process. But anyway, congratulations to Joey Logano, and if you managed to get out of the track early and in your car and you're listening to us now, we appreciate it, and we'll probably be picking up a few listeners along the way as people make their way back to Orlando tonight. It's usually slow going, at least it was when I used to go to those races over there. But something that is not slow going is the American Adversaries, whether it be on Sunday night or drive time during the week. So we got a lot to talk about. We're just getting started here tonight. But don't forget, Tuesday and Wednesday, 7:30, free, Fashion Square, American Sniper. And this is compliments of Arms Room Radio and the Max Law Firm. All right. And, of course, Arms Room Radio is broadcast live on AM 660, The Answer, every Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m.
Well, and the interesting thing about this being a beautiful Sunday evening as you're heading home from the race, we'd like to tell you something. Don't race! It's going to be slow all the way home. Just relax. There's only a few commercials. We'll be back so fast, and you'll like it.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got us live until 8 o'clock tonight. And then don't forget, you still got a lot of great live radio right here on the Salem Communications stations. And that, of course, includes John Butler Book, who will be up the dial at 8 o'clock at 950 WTLN. He'll take you live until 9 o'clock. And, of course, Armed American Radio. I get those two shows mixed up. Armed American Radio.
They don't like that when you do that.
Mark Walters will be live tonight from 8 to 11 on AM 660, The Answer. I want to get down to business now. I want to talk about a fellow by the name of Brian Bell. Let's see, Johnny Guns, you're a football fan. Are you familiar with the Brian Bell story?
Brian Bell, I can't say that I am.
Well, unfortunately, you may not ever hear of Brian Bell. He's a really great high school prospect. He's a linebacker. He plays here in Florida, I believe up in the Panhandle region of the state. Lowndes County High School in Lowndes County, Florida, which is up in the Panhandle, as I said. And the reason Brian Bell may never be known is because colleges are turning their back on him, in particular FSU. He had a letter of intent with FSU. FSU had extended him a scholarship to attend school there, starting in the fall, playing linebacker on the FSU Seminole football team. And the day before signing day, they rescinded the scholarship offer.
Oh?
You might ask why. Well, it's kind of hard to start. The story was reported an extensive article in today's Orlando Sentinel Sports section. I must say a very well-written article. Which it lays out the whole episode, and it's a really this is what we've come to because we have allowed political correctness and the loud squeaky voices from the likes of Al Sharpton and Benjamin Crump to have too much time on the stage and given way too much legitimacy. Of course, we know Ben Crump. He was at the middle of the Trayvon Martin fiasco because he blew that out of proportion. He did the same thing up there in Ferguson with the shooting. A Darren Wilson police officer shot the kid Brown. And he's right in the middle of this story here. However, this story differs in the sense that, yes, a young black man did die. A young black 17-year-old Lowndes County High School, also another Lowndes County High student, Kendrick Johnson, is dead. And that's part of the story. And Brian Bell has been accused of killing Kendrick Johnson. And the reason he has been accused of killing Kendrick Johnson is because now Kendrick died on January 13th, 2013.
Uh-huh.
The reason Brian Bell is being accused of killing Kendrick is because the two young fellas had a fight on a school bus in 2011. Okay.
What?
That is the only bit of evidence against Brian Bell.
Has he been in a coma for 2 years?
Well, that has not stopped Ben Crump, the family of Kendrick Johnson, Al Sharpton, and others from trying to parlay this into portraying. Well, they have pretty successfully parlayed this into portraying Brian Bell as Kendrick Johnson's murderer.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Tawana Burley. I had something in my throat.
But this is even worse than that. And you'll see as I kind of go through this. Have you heard about this case, Nostradamus?
No, I have not.
Okay. Brian Bell, as I said, was accused of murdering Kendrick Johnson. Now, what happened is Kendrick Johnson left the gymnasium one day after practice and evidently forgot his tennis shoes, and he went back to get them, and the tennis shoes were on top of a pile of mats.
We save them all the time in school, yeah.
Gymnastic mats, wrestling mats, and they fold them up,
yep.
And then they stack them in.
Pretty high, too, sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he had put his shoes up on top of there. Well, he climbed up there to get them. Somehow he managed to fall between the mats and either other mats or the mats and the wall, and got himself wedged in there upside down and died.
Wow.
And was not found until the next day when some other students went to pull the mats out. Mm-hmm. And there was Kendrick Johnson. Now, that's how he died. But that is not how it has been portrayed by Ben Crump and the family of Kendrick Johnson and now a horde of other people on the social media, which has developed such great pressure that FSU deemed it necessary to pull the kid's scholarship.
It's not maticide?
Well, here's the problem. And this is serious because this is now ruining this kid's life. And it's only because he's white. This is definitely a racist motivated crime against Brian Bell. Not Kendrick Johnson, okay? And here's the interesting thing is that
the connection, yeah.
The head of the local NAACP chapter asked the U.S. Department of Justice to open a civil rights investigation, and she did her own investigation. Her name is Touchton is her last name. Mm-hmm. And guess what? She found that it was an accidental death.
So he's not been charged with any crime.
Where's the connection, Chris?
Okay. No, he's not been charged. Worse than this, he and his brother now has been implicated as well. They both have alibis where they were in locations nowhere. Brian Bell was across campus in a classroom with other students.
Video shows that.
With video proof. His brother was 150-some-odd miles away in Macon, Georgia at a wrestling match. And you have, of course, eyewitnesses, and you have the documentation of him being there wrestling at the wrestling match. When Kendrick died, none of this matters.
Well, I don't even see the connection.
There is none other than the fact that Ben Crump says there is. other than the fact that Kendrick Johnson's family says there is. That's the only connection. And by the way, yes, they have filed a multi-million-dollar lawsuit naming some 38 defendants in the case. And so maybe there's a little motivation there. But there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that anything but a tragic accident happened and this young fella is dead as a result. But now it's no longer enough that we have to mourn a tragic accident. We have to take out some sort of blind vengeance against anybody. And the gist of this story is that...
No, worse than that. Chris, you're using a cadaver. Well, you're using a cadaver to build up your own, you know, allegations and your own agenda.
Well, I don't know if I'd use the word cadaver.
Certainly, yeah, this guy died on his own.
Certainly, you're using the fact of a tragic death of a young boy.
Yes.
All right. And so, you know, the fact that he ended up being a cadaver, that's beside the point. But the fact of the matter is, it's the death that we're talking about.
But it has nothing to do with the other people
and
around him.
And by the way, the autopsy showed that it wasn't, speaking of cadavers, the autopsy showed that it was an accidental death. All right? But a picture has been floating around on the website, on the internet. I see you nodding your head. See if you
yeah, Johnson's disfigured face has been a photo of that's been on right, the internet.
What happens when you break your neck?
Well, no. What they don't tell you is that the quote-unquote disfigured photograph is after the autopsy procedure.
Oh. Yeah.
And after the kid's body was 24 hours upside down and wedged between some padding. So, but the bottom line is this. FSU has succumbed to this political witch hunt pressure.
Sure.
And pulled the kid's scholarship.
Oh, my God.
That is criminal in and of itself, if you ask me. And their reasoning is, we think it would be better for Brian Bell if he weren't here. And what they're admitting is, Ben Crump runs FSU. And when Ben Crump runs a state university, we got one hell of a problem on our hands. And whoever else supposedly runs FSU, I believe it's a new president, isn't it?
I have to look that up.
Seems like they just got a new president last year. It was a politician or something like that. Rick Scott needs to look into this. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show. And we're talking about this case about Brian Bell, the young linebacker from Lowndes County, Georgia, actually, which is in South Georgia. He had been recruited by FSU to start, or at least be on the team this year, to go out for the team. Had a scholarship pulled at the last minute, the day before signing day, because he has been falsely accused. And there's ample evidence to show that there is no truth to the allegations that he had anything at all whatsoever to do with the death of 17-year-old Kendrick Johnson. But because he's white, Kendrick Johnson is black, it has now become a thing. And I just want to give a couple updates, and Johnny has a couple as well. Lee Touchton was the NAACP leader, and she's been known for a long time, civil rights fighter, but she happens to be white, too. So because her findings showed that there was nothing to the allegations, they were dismissed, and she was accused of being a racist.
Of course she was.
This is a woman who worked for the NAACP and was a civil rights activist her whole life. Has been now accused of being a racist because these people are living this lie. And furthermore, there was someone else who investigated, too, a fellow by the name of Reverend Floyd Rose. Now, Reverend Floyd Rose is a black man. He is also, he started marching for justice in 1963. He also looked at it and he said this, and I quote now the Reverend Floyd Rose. If you follow the truth wherever it leads, I believe the truth will set you free. The more I looked into the case personally and through open records and interviews, I came to the conclusion there's no way he could have been murdered. To accuse the Bell brothers is utter nonsense. Mm-hmm. Now, he fears the DOJ investigation has dragged on. And the DOJ investigation has dragged on now for months and months and months. Once again, they're feeding into the lie.
It's not so much a question of he said. It's he said and has evidence to prove that he's lying. But that doesn't matter.
Well, it's an insidious thing when basically they can look around and pick out a white kid and say, you, we're going to accuse you of murder, regardless of have you had anything damn thing to do with it. We're going to accuse you of murder, mm-hmm. and we're going to ruin your life because a black kid is dead. And the black kid died of a tragic accident. That doesn't matter. See, this is wrong. The black community cannot allow this to happen. The black community, in the end, will be the one most hurt by this. Johnny, you said there is another lawsuit by the Bells now filed, and mm-hmm. you had an update about the FSU president.
Yeah, the Bells have a $5 million libel and slander suit against Ebony Magazine, who ran a series titled Who Killed Kendrick Johnson, and which it concluded that Johnson was murdered. And a couple of facts about Florida State University. We were asking about who the current president is, and he is relatively new to his position. His name is John Thrasher. Started on November 6, 2014, and he is a former state legislator.
Well, I guess you can just change that name to Ben Crump. Ben Crump runs FSU, is what this story tells me. Not John Thrasher. Either that or John Thrasher left his gonads in the state legislature. Because to allow this to happen and then to excuse it as, well, he'd be better off somewhere else. You know, well, nobody else is picking the kid up because FSU won't touch him. So now they're thinking, well, you know, we don't want to get, you know, tarred with this either. Yeah. It's the old Jesse Jackson extortion bit. You know, we'll boycott you until you give us a bunch of money or do what we want. All right? It doesn't matter if you ever did anything wrong or not. You just got a bunch of money, and we want it. It's thievery. It's thievery, and in this case, it is a slow form of murder. This is what did Clarence Thomas call it when Anita Hill in the hearings? He called it a modern day lynching, I think, or something
sure.
like that.
Oh, sure.
This is a lynching. This is a lynching. They are ruining this kid's life out of just hate. Just pure hate. Let me just tell you what Lydia Tooley Whitlock said. Now, who the hell is Lydia Tooley Whitlock? This would be Kendrick Johnson's aunt. This was after there was a rally up there that was called the No Sides event. In other words, this was to come out and, you know.
But we're not biased.
Yeah, we're not biased, but Kendrick was murdered. And by the way, the Ebony article, even if, let's assume for a moment, Kendrick Johnson was murdered, the Bell brothers didn't do it. Now, but he was not murdered. It was an accident.
Mm-hmm. Murder is a technical legal term, right? I mean, murder is different than killing someone. If you say someone was murdered, you are implying that someone did it deliberately.
Yes.
Or accidentally.
Okay, because you know, Trayvon Martin's mother is going the lecture circuit, and she's appearing at colleges around the country to try to call for an end to racism. And she says in the course of her speech that her poor son was murdered.
Yeah. Well, that's no way to end racism. Neither is this. After this event, this is what Lydia Tooley Whitlock, the aunt of Kendrick Johnson, said. She called the rally, the No Sides event, she called it, and I quote now, whack-ass Klan rally. The little hellion didn't make it into FSU because nobody wants to be connected to his kind.
His kind. That's not racist at all.
Kind?
Yeah. That's racism, pure and simple, from a black woman because she's full of hatred and can't accept the fact that her nephew died in a tragic accident. No, because she has this hatred she's got to burn off, see? And now she's got a great reason to be filled with hate in her mind. It's like, remember Friday we were talking with Ken Vihek, and he said what Obama does is rationalization. This is rationalizing their hatred, you see. This is rationalizing their hatred and putting it all on Brian Bell, an innocent kid who happens to be white.
And so far, that's his crime.
It's all his crime. Is that he's a white kid.
Come on. You know FSU only stands behind black rapists, thieves, women haters. Allegedly. Alleged black rapists, thieves, woman haters, soon to be number one picks in the NFL draft.
I'm glad you brought that out because there is far more reasonable cause to pursue a case against Jameis Winston. Than the Bell brothers. There is nothing.
And the
we do know that Jameis Winston had sex with the woman. And now it's just a matter of, was it voluntary or not?
And the Tallahassee police have been under pressure from other people saying, you know, why can't you actually do your job and keep these kids in line? This is the flip side of that.
Well, this is giving in to thugs. The gangs now run FSU. This is all this is. This is gang politics, or like Lair calls it, mob politics. The thugs are running FSU. John Thrasher either needs to grow a pair and turn this decision around or get the hell out of town, because he's no good letting Ben Crump run that university. Because Ben Crump will run that university into the ground.
Chris,
I guarantee you that. And by the way, Ben Crump is an alumna of FSU.
Chris, yes. This is the new elite mafia.
It is. It is. And they're running rampant. And when they begin to do it running over innocent people, what's there to stop them now? Okay?
Extortion's on the way.
Exactly.
You're not, even if they did exactly what you said and said, we were wrong, this is stupid, here's your scholarship back. He's not coming back to that school, nor should he if I were him.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't want to go to there. I'd want to take that scholarship and go to an ACC rival.
Well, if an ACC rival would pick him up. If I were him, I'd go.
Yep.
I'd go, and I'd say, to hell with y'all, I'm going to get an education, I'm going to play football, and I'm going to stick my thumb right in your eye, because I had nothing to do with your nephew and your sons and your
And I'm going to sue the pants off of you.
Death.
Yeah?
That's right. You know, I'm going to hold my head up high, I'm going to play hard on the field, and I'm going to be me. And I'm not going to let you take my life away. And unfortunately, that's what John Thrasher and FSU has played into. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And if we sit by silently and allow this to happen, well, when they come for us,
there'll be no one left to speak
for
us.
You better believe it. You better believe it. So we'll keep an eye on this, but I am not encouraged that Brian Bell will ever get his day in court, so to speak, because he didn't do anything. All right, speaking of days in court, Mr. Barack Obama, yeah, I said Obama, because I don't have any
respect. Obama.
Yeah. Anyway, he doesn't have any respect for the Constitution. Why should I have any respect for him? He is a loser in court, and he will remain a loser in court. And here's what I mean by this. Jeff, give me three more minutes here, please, so I can try to run through this. As you know, Judge Andrew Hannon, who is a federal judge in Texas, mm-hmm. he was George W. Bush appointee, made a ruling this past week which put on hold the administration's plan to extend, shall we say, certain niceties to illegal immigrants. And that's where the crux of the case is. This case has nothing to do so much with the president overstepping his bounds in terms of not sending illegals back to wherever they came from. The judge recognizes that they have discretion to do that. So in other words, the sort of, we're going to give you some time to get your affairs in order here and not send you back. The judge says, yeah, he does have discretion to do that. That's called prosecutorial discretion. In other words, if there are other bigger threats out there the administration needs to be dealing with, then the judge understands, okay, you have the prerogative to set those priorities. But what the judge said that you do not have the prerogative to do is what the injunction is all about. The program that the Obama administration came up with has been labeled Deferred Action for Parents of Americans, known as DAPA, right? And it grants work authorization, Social Security eligibility, and eligibility for important federal and state benefits to virtually all aliens who have been in the United States since 2010, had a baby in this country, and have not committed felonies. And it was to go into effect this past Wednesday. Now, under the Immigration and Naturalization Act, now this is a 60-some-odd-year-old law, undocumented immigrant parents of U.S. citizens are required to wait until the child turns 21 and then must leave the country for 10 years before applying for a change of immigration status on account of that child. That's been a part of the law for the 60-some-odd years that it's been in effect. The Obama administration argued that DAPA is just, you know, once again, this is prosecutorial discretion. The problem, as the court explained it is, now I'm quoting the court, I'm quoting Judge Hannon, DHS, Department of Homeland Security, has not instructed its officers to merely refrain from arresting, ordering the removal of, or prosecuting unlawfully present aliens. Instead, he pointed out that they have enacted a wide-ranging program that awards legal precedence to individuals Congress has deemed deportable or removable, as well as the ability to obtain Social Security numbers, work authorization permits, and the ability to travel. In other words, they don't have any authorization to do that under any discretion.
Even if they're driving drunk, it turns out.
Well, and so he says this has nothing to do with prosecutorial discretion. And what it does do, though, is it basically has rewritten the law. The law prohibits what Obama is trying to do here.
And who rewrites laws? Not the president.
Well, dictators.
Yeah, maybe this president.
Dictators try. But this is why I say this decision is going to stand. This is not a gray area of law over prosecutorial discretion or something like that. He is giving them that point. He's saying, yes, you have prosecutorial discretion, and if you don't want to send these people out back out of the country, you don't have to. But you can't give them all these little goodies. You can't grant them work status. You can't give them a Social Security number and put them on Social Security rolls. You can't put them on welfare. You can't do any of this other stuff. Thank you very much, Mr. Judge Hansen.
Till an appellate judge that Barack...
No, the appellate, the courts will uphold this decision, and I guarantee you that.
We'll see.
All right, when we come back, we'll take a phone call. Okay, welcome back, and it's about time for Nostradamus' stories from the past, but we have Eva on the line, so we'll take her call first, and then we'll get to Nostradamus. Eva, thanks for calling.
Yes, I want to make three comments. The first, Giuliani is the only one I've ever heard make sense, and he's really acting like a man. He said the truth. Nobody else has said it.
Yep.
And CNN, and I just learned myself, the CNN is what the administration wants out. That's where you go to get that. And, of course, they're jumping on how bad he is. He's the only one making sense. Two,
yep.
The next thing is, have you heard about the O'Reilly debate about how they're, I think Mother Jones is making out he did the same thing to Brian Williams in 32 years ago?
They're saying that about O'Reilly, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I did hear a little something about that.
And thank God he's acting like a man. He's taking it on. It's going to be on his show tomorrow night.
Okay, we'll check that out.
And then the next thing and the most important thing is our guy, Carl Jackson, won one of the political ads on Bill Bennett. And it will be airing this week, so look out for him. I told you guys a long time ago he was heading somewhere.
Oh, yeah, we agreed.
Yeah, we knew that.
Yeah, yeah. I texted Chris with that on Friday morning.
It played Friday morning.
Friday morning, I got up, got in the shower, did my thing. I got out of the shower, turned the radio on, and they were just about to start playing Carl's ad. Now, it's not edited. It's about 2.5 minutes long, and they asked for 60 seconds, so they have to edit it down.
What's that, Eva?
Radio or TV?
Radio ad, yeah. These are strictly radio ads. They may end up airing in radio stations in battleground political arenas around the country between now and 2016.
I heard it on Bill Bennett, and he said they would start airing it the last week, so that would be this week coming up for Black History Month.
Right. They're doing that right now. They're placing a lot of those ads,
Yeah. So hopefully they'll run it again.
One of the ones, but you guys are doing a great job. Just keep it up. And thank these men that are acting like men. And as far as Trasher goes, I think he's a Republican, but he must be a rhino.
He was appointed by Rick Scott, and I like that Trasher. We'll start calling him John Trasher because he's allowing FSU to be trashed, that's for sure.
Exactly. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Eva. We appreciate it. And we'll be talking more about Rudy a little bit later on in the show.
Okay,
and
bye-bye.
And she's right because the left has successfully moved the argument so that questioning Obama's patriotism is off the table. No one thinks it's worth questioning.
And that's kind of got to be the focus of the second hour of the show because, you know, Carl has been talking about that the last couple of weeks, controlling the argument. argument, reframing the argument. Well, it's not happening by Republicans. All right, speaking of things that happened in the past, though.
Nostradamus.
Yes.
Predicts.
Yes.
The past.
Yes, thank you, Mr. 5 Minute Professor, who successfully moved out to Oviedo this past weekend. Oh. Congratulations and welcome to your new home out there. Okay,
well, these are so different out there.
It is. Compared to Altamont Springs, it's like night and day, or day and night. I'm not sure which one is night. I don't know. These are some of the stories we were going to get to, but didn't. They are up on our Facebook pages over the last couple of days, but I want to run through a few of them quickly. A woman in Utah is suing herself in a wrongful death case. Barbara Bagley was in a 2011 car accident that killed her husband when she was driving her Range Rover in Nevada and flipped over a sagebrush. She claims she was negligent for not keeping control of her vehicle.
Flipped over a sagebrush.
Sagebrush. Hit a sagebrush and flipped the Rover Ranger over.
Yes. Lord, I didn't know sagebrushes were that tough.
Must have been a big sagebrush.
God.
But she claims she failed to maintain a proper lookout while driving. A state third district judge out there dismissed the lawsuit last year, but it was reinstated in a unanimous ruling by the Utah Court of Appeals. She says she's doing this for the benefit of her husband's estate so creditors can be paid before she can receive any money as her husband's only heir. So you get this? She wants to help pay off the creditors so that she can get the rest. Until then, no one gets anything.
I believe he was crippled, wasn't he?
The guy was killed. He died, yeah.
Yeah, but he was crippled before.
Oh, that I did not
know. I think, it's kind of a little bit fishy on it.
It's a very weird case. She was named the executor of the estate, and because she's basically suing herself on behalf of the estate, but in the end it would mean that she would get paid too.
Right, so she's kind of suing.
It's still fishy.
Oh, boy.
Have you ever heard of Rob Bell?
Rob Bell.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Any relation to Brian Bell?
No, Rob Bell is a former megachurch pastor. Accent on the former. Who said on an Oprah Winfrey Super Soul Sunday broadcast recently that the church is moments away from accepting gay marriage.
Church? The Christian church?
He does not specify.
Okay.
I'm assuming he means Christian. There's not too many other kinds of churches. But Bell says, one of the oldest aches in the bones of humanity is loneliness. Loneliness is not good for the world. Whoever you are, gay or straight, it's totally normal, natural, and healthy to want someone to go through life with. I think the culture is already there, he says. And, quote, the church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago as their best defense. So a former megachurch pastor is saying Holy Scripture is irrelevant.
That's the takeaway, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You can't quote.
Let's make our own religion.
That's a pretty profound point because you're talking about it's all relative now.
The rules are what I say.
Exactly. Anybody can set them.
I think that's what made him a former megachurch pastor.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, a Washington grandmother and florist of 40 years, not Florida, Washington State, Baronelle Stutzman, is going to have to pay for her refusal to service gay weddings. She is going to be forced to arrange flowers for gay couples now, according to the Alliance Defending Freedom, who represented her. But she is also going to have to pay the penalties and the court costs of the plaintiffs. This means she could lose her personal possessions and her savings. A couple in 2013 asked her to arrange flowers for the wedding. The ACLU represented that couple and took her to court. Now, these two men had no problems, according to people who argued before the court in December. They had no problems getting the flowers they wanted. They received several offers for free flowers, and the marketplace gave them plenty of options. But they said, no, that's not good enough. We want her to do it, and we want her to pay for it. And so far, until the ADF files another appeal, which they plan to do, she's going to have to pay for this entire mess.
Once again, political correctness rules the day.
And lastly, Rosaria Butterfield. She's a guest I'm trying to get on the air with us soon. She is a former atheist lesbian college professor. How much more left can you get? She is now a pastor's wife. How much more right can you get? And she has to say a lot of things about the relationship between Christians and gays and lesbians. The first thing she has to say is, you have to start with love. She's actually put a book out. And when we get her on, I want to talk with her a lot about it because it's something Christians need to know, how to treat your gay and lesbian friend.
This is perfect music. You only live twice. She's living two different lives.
She's on the second one, and so far, second one better than the first.
We're coming right back.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries for two more live hours. Woo-hoo! And then don't forget, you got a lot of other great live radio here to go tonight. John Butler Book is coming in at 8 o'clock, and he'll take you live until 9 on 950 WTLN. And don't forget Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, and he'll take you till 11. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams, Johnny Guns, and Nostra Dennis with you tonight. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number if you'd like to be a part of the show like Eva was in the last hour. And don't forget, this half hour of the show, as a matter of fact, we're going to be doing our Who Said That contest tonight. We're going to move it up a little bit because we have a guest later on in the show, Roxy Astor.
And, Chris, I'd like to point out to all our listeners, folks, one thing, and that is, Oscars are boring.
Indeed.
Listen to us. Oscars are boring. So go ahead and excite yourselves this show.
You got to really be a People Magazine person to enjoy that stuff.
You know what? You can just go on the internet tomorrow morning and find out who won. That's all you need.
And the host this year. Where did they pick him?
Who is the host?
Oh, the Doogie Howser?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes. Not a comedian. Not anybody.
No,
a lousy
gay.
Actor.
He's gay, so he works. He passed the test. All right, we're going to sort of switch gears a little bit. We are going to incorporate Rudy Giuliani into the discussion in this hour, if for no other reason than he hit a nerve.
Yeah, he did.
He hit a nerve. That's why the media are having a bit of a hissy fit about him.
Oh, and they wanted to bleed over onto Walker, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they think that they've got something that they can run with.
And kudos to Walker for his response.
Yeah, so we'll bring that in. We'll get around to that. But I want to talk about Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson was on the talk shows this morning. And, of course, we know that at the end of this week, the funding will run out for the DHS if Congress doesn't do something. And as it turns out right now, the Republicans are in a standoff with Republicans, essentially, because the Senate Democrats are holding things up in the Senate. Mitch McConnell has basically thrown his hands up in the air and said, you guys in the House need to rework this. Well, of course, John Boehner in the House are saying, no, we're not. So it's going to be interesting to see this week who blinks, Mitch McConnell or John Boehner. How do Republicans get themselves into this mess? I know.
Because they have them right where the Democrats want them.
Yeah, they don't listen to us enough. That's how they get themselves into these jams. Anyway, he was on there this morning, and even though that's what he wanted to talk about, and you could tell in the interviews, as a matter of fact,
sure.
In one of the interviews, he even asked, I think it was Bob Schieffer tonight, we are going to talk about this, right?
He was begging. He was pleading.
Because we're more interested in the real security issues than these political gamesmanships going on. But at one point on one of the talk shows this morning, I believe it was Fake the Nation with Bob Schieffer, and I'm having some mixed feelings over calling his show Fake the Nation, because he's turning out to be one of the best interviewers now on Sunday morning television, old Bobby. But anyways, he was probing Jay Johnson and, of course, the president's reluctance to call the enemy what the enemy is, Islamic-fueled terrorism. And at some point he called Islam, and it was funny because his tone of the voice, and he almost was like, you know, giving us the baby talk. Islam is a religion of peace and brotherhood.
Almost pleading, right?
Yeah, peace and brotherhood. Okay, let me tell you, let me just read something that was in Monday's Orlando Sentinel, tell you about this religion of peace and brotherhood. This was on page A4 in what they call the news briefing section. Here's the title of the two-paragraph article. I'll read the whole thing. Teen suicide bomber kills at least 16 in Nigeria. A teenage suicide bomber blew herself up at a crowded bus station in northeast Nigeria on Sunday, killing at least 16 and wounding 30 others. Most of the victims were children who had either been selling peanuts or begging for money at the time of the explosion, said witnesses. The bomber managed to get through the security check at the entrance to the bus station in Damaturu, a town near Maiduguri, or something like that. No one has claimed responsibility for the bombing, but it fits the pattern of violence by Boko Haram. No doubt she was able to get through the security checks because she was a young female, probably with the full burqa on, and of course we know we can't be looking under that. We might see something we're not supposed to see. Not her.
Oh, my gosh.
Not her bloomers.
You might see her bomb.
Exactly. Now, we're not worried about her bloomers, you know, but that is the so-called religion of peace and brotherhood that Jay Johnson is talking about. I wonder if he's a Muslim himself, by the way. We'll have to look into that. He certainly talked like it this morning. He called what we are entering into now the new phase of the army, and this was in response to questions about threats that Boko Haram, not Boko Haram, I'm getting them all mixed up, Al-Shabaab. Now, Al-Shabaab is the group that attacked the mall in Kenya. You remember the shopping mall, and they went around just shooting people ran.
Not to be confused with shish kebab. Yeah,
exactly. Al Kebab has now put out a video calling for this to be carried out in Western countries around the world, and in particular mentioned the Mall of America, which I believe is in Minneapolis, somewhere up there, isn't it?
The Mall of Millennium? Mall of Millennium. Mall of America is, yes, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Okay, yeah, but he basically said any mall. Any country, any mall, this is the new phase Jay Johnson is telling us about from the religion of peace and brotherhood. And, oh, by the way, I guarantee you that that political nuances, as the administration calls them, had no role in this teenage girl deciding to blow herself up. Okay? You don't blow yourself up over political nuances.
Or religion, right, Chris?
Well, in this case, yes, you do. But that's, of course, what they don't want us to know.
No.
And my initial reaction to the president's speeches on Wednesday and Thursday from the so-called summit, White House summit on violent extremism, was that he was in denial. I want to change that. He's in deflection mode. And it really dawned on me this morning watching Jay Johnson. The reason they are not recognizing this as Islamic extremism is they really don't believe, or they would have us believe, that it is not. They're trying to deflect the argument away from Islam onto capitalism. In other words, these people are doing this because we've colonized the world and created pockets of poverty.
They only do it because they're poor.
They're poor.
That's it.
And they're not included in the political process, and so they go out and they commit these acts of terrorism. Religion has nothing to do with it. See, that is a deflection. That's not denial. That's deflection. They are deflecting, once again, to think back to what Carl was talking about the last couple of weeks, framing and reframing the argument. They are framing the argument. They are reframing the arguments. Here. They are saying, no, this is not about Islamic extremism. This is about something entirely different, which basically is capitalism. Now, they haven't used that word, But just think about what Barf Harf was saying and what the president was saying. You know, they have legitimate grievances, and they are revolved around poverty and not being included in the political process and all this and that.
When are they going to call it what it is? Ignorance. Well, this is ignorance brought about by a way of life that people are trying to impose upon you, about a propaganda they're trying to impose upon you. And the more you're ignorant, the more you'll suck it up.
Well, now, they did say that. They did say that ignorance is part of the problem, too, and absolutely. But why is ignorance a problem? Because the religion exploits that. Islam wants uneducated people. That's why they don't educate women.
So do liberals.
Well, exactly. And that's why they have this sort of weird kinsmanship. But in the liberals' mind, they think that they can actually
what they don't know is protecting
Muslims.
Them. Yes,
they think that they can actually reach Muslims, and so they are deflecting the argument, trying to deflect away from the real truth, because they think that they can actually solve this with their Marxist notions. Once again, you have to understand. As I said, I've studied Marxism. I understand it better than the average journalist. Let's just say that, and certainly much better than politicians, except for Barack Obama. Barack Obama has been schooled in it. And according to Marxism, if people are behaving badly, you change their living conditions and they will become, if you change them in the proper fashion, they will become model citizens. And so you have to deflect away everything else that's going to distract from that goal. And so that's why Barack Obama goes this path. He actually believes that if we somehow create better living conditions for these people, they'll become model citizens.
But if they're wrong.
Well, and then just think back, like I did say Wednesday, everything that the president says he wants to do with this situation in the Middle East, we did in Iraq.
Yes.
And he turned away from that. So it's denial and deflection. They are really denying the serious nature of the problem in thinking that they actually have the solution, and they are deflecting us away from the serious and the true nature of the problem because they think they have the solution, and they don't need us doofuses to get in the way. And so they highlight Fox News, they highlight talk radio, because we are the loudest voices of truth, and so they have to go after us. Because we are the ones who are exposing them for what they are, misguided, ignorant liars. And there is no two other ways to look at it. And by the way, look at it this way. They had this summit, White House summit, on extremist terrorism. Terrorist extremism. I get the two words mixed up. The White House summit on terrorist extremism. How many times did we hear brilliant minds that understood the nuances of the world, like Barack Obama, criticize the George W. Bush administration for the quote-unquote war on terror? And their criticism was, how could you have a war on a tactic? Terror is not an enemy. It's a tactic. You know, it's stupid for George W. Bush to say we have a war on terror. He's saying we have a war on tactic. What an idiot he is. And yet, what are they saying here? Violent extremism? What is violent extremism? It is a tactic, right? So he just had a summit on a tactic. A tactic. According to their own arguments, that is just pure ignorance.
Just call it something else. It'll go away.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying. They said they criticized George Bush for calling it a war on terror, terror being a tactic. Well, violent extremism is also a tactic. So if George W. Bush was an idiot for calling a war on a tactic, they are just as guilty of being idiots. Except they don't use the word simply terrorism. They call it violent extremism. In both cases, we are talking about a tactic. So now we have, I guess George W. Bush is either now a genius or these people are just as dumb as he is. We'll be right back.
You know, that big old race they had over there in Daytona, that 500-something, that, what's that, Joey Logano won that?
Yeah, he did.
That's old news. That's in the past. You know, stop looking back. Let's look at the future and what you can win are great radio listeners. Just pull out that phone, that cell phone, that rotary phone, that whatever phone you got.
Rotary?
Even get your kids' play school phone and dial in this number, 407-774-8255, because it's time to play the Who Said That contest.
All right, that's right, folks. Thank you, Johnny Guns. You will win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all Central Florida. And by the way, you can make reservations there. They have casual fine dining and a full bar. Their number is 407-774-8080 at Cafe Positano. You'll win that $20 gift card and a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. American made, American proud, MyLibertyThreads.com. If you know who said this, and of course, if you've never, by the way, if you folks are listening to us for the first time as you're returning home from the Daytona 500, it was a fantastic race. I'm sure you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll enjoy our show and listen to the American Adversaries every Sunday live at 5 till 8 and Monday through Friday, 5 to 6. Every Sunday, we play a Who Said That contest where we read a quote, and you call us up. You know who said the quote. You'll win those prizes. And it's as simple as that. And as Johnny said, the number is 407-774-8255. Okay, tonight's quote is pretty short and pretty sweet. So here it goes. Who said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." You know who said that? Give us a call. Who said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." And we'd like somebody who hasn't won in a long time, who has never won, to have the first shots at this. So you old timers, if you'll stand back and let somebody else have a stab at it. I want to follow up on a couple of things, and then we're going to go to a phone call from Mike. So hold on there, Mike. We'll get to you here in a second. I just want to finish out talking about Jay Johnson this morning, you know, poo-pooing any notion that the Islamic extremists have anything to do with Islam. Of course, we all know they do. And that's one reason why I believe the president felt it incumbent to come out this week with his deflection strategy and for the administration to carry it on through today and look forward to them carrying on through the rest of the time this fool's in office. And the reason is because it's a raw nerve. We've hit a raw nerve. They know that this is the truth. And this is what tells me that they know it's the truth. When Jay Johnson and the president say things like they don't want to give the Islamic State recognition for being an Islamic state because they don't want to give them, and I quote now, the dignity of being called Islamic or Muslim. Muslim, as they say it. And the reason that they don't want to give them the dignity of this is because that's what the enemy wants. They want this recognition for being what they are. And if we recognize them for what they are, we have somehow given in to them. Even if it is giving in to the truth, it's giving in to the enemy. You know, this is just absolutely absurd because, first of all, what they are saying is they recognize that there is something to the argument. Because to recognize that to recognize them would give them to dignify their argument. In other words, is to say, yeah, there's something there to their argument. So they can't go down that road in their mind. But the worst part is they're saying that they need to do this also because we need Muslims, good Muslims, to help us in this fight. And we will alienate the good Muslims. And I'm saying Muslims because that's the way the president tends to say it now. I say Muslim, but he calls it Muslim. So he's the smartest guy in the room. We'll go with him. The Muslims, we can't alienate the Muslims in the fight. Well, see, here's part of the problem, though. When you don't recognize exactly the truth of what's going on, and that is that these people are the true representatives of fundamental Islam, Islamic teaching, Islamic thought that is backed up by the Quran and the Hadiths and other writings, when you do not recognize that, you are letting the good Muslims off the hook. You are saying, there's nothing wrong with Islam. You ain't got to worry about nothing. It's just these old, you know, disaffected people with legitimate grievances who have just settled upon your Muslim religion in order to whack heads and kill people and burn them alive and rape and rob and pillage. You see? So you don't have to worry about doing anything really about it because it's not really the Muslim religion, right? Isn't that, you follow my logic here?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if the Muslims that we need to fight this war are going to be let off the hook, what motivation do they have to fight the war? if it's not really their problem? And that's what the president told us this week. That's what Maria Barf-Harf told us. Why, there's bigger nuances going on here. Yeah, the nuances. Why, this can't be no fundamental Islam. It's got to be a bunch of nuances that have nothing to do with fundamentalist Islam. And in the process, they are letting all these Muslim so-called moderates off the hook. Off the hook from having to do any damn thing about this. It needs to be recognized for what it is, for the very purpose of putting it on the Muslims to do something about it. Yes, it is your problem. It is your religion that is being taught. What in the hell are you going to do about it? That's what we should be saying. But no, we don't want to upset the Muslims. Why, they might get scared. Well, the little girl that sent the Valentine to President Obama, I guess, never heard of the little girl who blew herself up in Nigeria because of the Muslim religion that she wants to practice peacefully in the United States. And I wondered, after the president recited that little tale to us, and I have no doubt that it's true, but that it's true, I had to wonder, though, I wonder if that little 11-year-old girl's parents are going to send her to Egypt or Somalia or somewhere like that to get genitally clipped. Yeah. That's right. That's what Muslims do. They send their little girls over to Africa to get genitally mutilated. I wonder if Mr. President thought about that when he read that darling little Valentine from that little 11-year-old Muslim girl. All right, let's go to Mike from Longwood. Mike, thanks for your call. Appreciate you holding on.
Hey, guys. Appreciate it. You know, I've been thinking about what the president said, Marie Harf and stuff. And if you go back to September 12th or something, 2001, when Bush hit Ground Zero, and if you were to make a video where it says, you know, where it gets to the point where he goes, "I hear you," and then put Obama's face on there saying, "Lest we get on our high horse, you all got to understand that you all are the problem and that Christianity is the problem and that Islam spreads happiness, joyousness, and prosperity wherever it goes," and then cut him back to the violent extremist summit where he's talking about how bad their society is, and it's based in Islam.
Yeah.
They can't get a freaking job.
Yeah.
But their whole culture, and also, did that little 11-year-old girl or 12-year-old girl who blew herself up, does she get 72 virgins? And I think being a virgin is overrated because you got to teach them stuff.
I know.
I'd rather take one woman and grow old with her, you know?
It means you can't be compared.
You got it. Mike, you're so right on a lot of points. We got to take a hard break, but thanks for calling. You're so very right. John.
Okay, guys.
What do you have to teach virgins?
We'll get to that lesson later on, Johnny.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
We'll get to that later on. Okay, when we come back, we have someone who thinks they know who said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." But don't go anywhere else, because we'll be right back. All right, we love it that you're listening to us on this fine Sunday evening. If you're on your way home from the Daytona 500, congratulations on enjoying a great race today, and congratulations to Joey Logano, who brought the checkered flag home. All right, and 407-774-8255 is the number. We're still looking for a winner to our Who Said That contest. Who said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go?" We got Willie on the line who thinks he knows who said that. Willie, thanks for being with us tonight.
The President George Washington.
You know, you're really close. You're really close. But it was not George Washington. It does sound like something George Washington would say. I'll say this. It was an American president, and it wasn't the first one, and it sure in the hell isn't the last one either.
Well, thank you. Great show.
All right. Thank you, Willie. If you figure it out, it's somewhere between 1 and 44. Give us a call back, and you'll be able to win those prizes. So there's a hint for you, folks.
Thanks for eliminating Obama from that. Thank you.
It should have been obvious that it wasn't him. I mean, the only person that Obama worships is himself. Well, maybe in Valerie Jarrett, too.
Maybe another, but I'm not even going to go there.
All right. So we're still looking for a winner. But rooting, tooting Rudy Giuliani. You know, Eva called earlier and spoke about Rudy, and I want to bring him into this portion of the conversation, too, because, as I said, I think that a nerve has been hit at the White House and having to do with the fight against Islamic terrorism. That's why they're going out of their way to say that it's not Islamic terrorism, because the argument is being overwhelmingly one that it is Islamic terrorism, because it is Islamic terrorism. There's no question about it. None. You know, but here's the president saying that what I just said was, quote unquote, an ugly lie. Well, if that's true, then he is ugly ignorant. Because he has never studied the religion. I first started studying the religion at UCF back in 1980 or 81, I believe it was. And back then I learned that it was a violent religion, that Muhammad spread the religion with the blood of on the sword. Nothing peaceful about it at all. Nothing. It gives some lip service to it. But the peace in their mind is, you are Muslim or you pay a tax to us or we kill you. That's nice and peaceful, isn't it? And their idea of brotherhood, Mr. J. Johnson, is that brotherhood under Allah. Not under Jesus or any other God, but Allah or Allah. But they're going out of their way. So a nerve has been struck that they feel like they really need to do this. And I think the same thing happened with Rudy Giuliani when he said the president does not love the United States of America. Obviously, he's expressing sentiments that a lot of us feel. If he does love America, it's a vision of America that does not exist, never has existed, and will only exist if he gets his way. It is not the America that we know and love and that he is trashing left and right, both domestically and in foreign policy.
And it's obvious that Rudy Giuliani is not going to run for president in 2016.
He's got nothing really to gain by doing this.
So he's the perfect candidate to do this.
He's the one who's been, quote-unquote, to quote the president himself, liberated.
Right, he's touching the third rail, basically.
He can say anything he wants. Yeah. And he can spark the debate. And that's why a lot of the talk shows jumped all over it this morning.
They're afraid of him.
Exactly, because they're afraid of the truth. As a matter of fact, one of the talking heads, and I meant to jot her name down, I didn't catch it, it was on the ABC version, but she called what we've been saying and what Rudy Giuliani is saying is despicable. Well, if the truth is despicable, well, then the truth is despicable. Despicable.
It's still the truth.
Right, but what is despicable is the lies that we are fed constantly by the liberal media and, of course, this administration and liberals in general. And so...
And again, it's not despicable for Al Gore to call George Bush a betrayer and a liar.
No, of course
right?
Not.
Yeah, and what did Hillary Clinton call General Petraeus when he came and he was talking about something?
Betrayer.
The Betrayus. Yeah, he's the Betrayus or something to that. Oh yeah, it's fine for them to do it. You know, and in that sense, I thought Rudy Giuliani had sort of the best response halfway. Anyway, he said he basically said what Lair said. He says, "Why should we Republicans be responsible to respond to anything that any one of us says when Joe Biden can say the most idiotic things in the world and nobody asks any Democrats about it?
Watch his hands too."
Yeah, and then he turned around and said, "Of course the president loves America." Well, I'm not so sure about that. And
well, wait. I will say that probably a Barack Obama loves the America he envisions.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, but it has nothing to do with the America we know. It's like you get a girlfriend and you say, "I love you, but I want to change everything about you."
So it's just words.
Right.
That's what we're
exactly.
talking here.
Yeah, try telling your wife or your girlfriend that. Dennis, you've been 30 years married. Have you ever tried to tell your wife you loved her, but that you hate everything she does?
It didn't work.
Yeah, okay.
No, I never said that. I never ever said that.
If you had, you wouldn't have been married 30 years.
Well,
I guarantee you.
She tried to change me, and every time I did it, it got me better. So I'm listening to her now.
What do they say in marriage? You can either be right or be happy.
Well, you think of men have to think of the aisle and the altar and the hymn, because that's what she's thinking. I'll alter him.
That's why I'm not married. Okay.
But to get back to Rudy, it's important that he say these things because, as I said, what has the president done to demonstrate that he really does love America? What? I didn't think you'd come up with any great answers.
Silence.
Yeah. But what has he done to criticize America or tear it down and say this is wrong, that's wrong? I mean, just look at the prayer breakfast. Yeah, what's wrong with America? Well, Christians, they had that Jim Crow and all that other business.
They slaughtered people during the Crusades. Wait a minute. The Crusades, they were defending themselves. And they were slaughterers.
These evil Christians on their high horse back in 600 waited four centuries for the Muslims to keep on slaughtering Christian cities in the Middle East before deciding, you know what? That's enough.
Well, none other than Eugene Robinson, who's a black columnist for, I believe, the Tribune Company, pointed out in one of his articles, hey, if it weren't for the Christian ethic, they'd all probably still be slaves. That's right. It was a Christian society that freed the slaves, Mr. Obama. I guess you didn't notice that, sir. And I guess you also don't care about Muslim societies enslaving people today. I find that so ironic. That the first black president, you know, and slavery and all that stuff, doesn't seem to give a damn about people being enslaved in the world. You would think that maybe, especially since he has that Nobel Peace Prize, that he might want to do something about ending slavery in the world. But oh no, no, we can't do that. Why? We might offend some Muslim somewhere. If we tell some Muslim he can't enslave somebody, why, we need the Muslims to like us. So we can't go pissing off the Muslims by telling them they can't enslave people. Who do they think they are, white?
My closing tonight, you'll hear about someone who was anti-slavery and accused of being liberal for
it. We're still looking for the author of our quote, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Well, it wasn't Obama, that's for sure. It wasn't George Washington, but it was a president. Look to the mount. Look to the mount. All right, let's go to Diane from Apopka, who wants to talk about rootin' tootin' Rudy Giuliani. Diane, thanks for calling.
Hey, I think Rudy Giuliani didn't expound enough. He didn't grow up in this country, so how can he love it? He doesn't know the traditions at all. He didn't go to a parade.
Obama, you mean?
Yeah.
He didn't go to a 4th of July parade. That's what I grew up with. Taps brings me to my knees.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to several military funerals. Has he been?
Yeah. Yeah, I will say this. Giuliani, in his explanation, seemed a bit defensive. You're absolutely right. He should have just come back firing full bore. And, hey, look, the guy didn't grow up in the United States of America. How can we really expect him to feel the same way we do about the United States of America?
And, you know, Diane, there are millions of people who did not grow up in this country who love it. But they are the ones
absolutely. Who
immigrate here legally. Mm-hmm. And they know more than most natural-born citizens about the founding of this nation.
Yeah, but what Diane is really saying is, look, they're going to take that. The liberal news media is going to take those little sound bites and twist them around to whatever they want to say.
What they do.
Which is why Giuliani should be not, you know, he should be just as fiery as he can be about this.
Sure.
Because this is a debate that needs to happen. And
Obama's beautiful sight is the Muslim prayer in the morning.
Yeah, sure. That's right. Yeah.
Right? Well, that's not mine.
Yeah, and according to one of his books, you know, when push comes to shoves, he's going to side with the Muslims.
He told us that.
And he's doing that. He's absolutely doing that. He's making excuses for the Muslims. That's what he did at his little summit this past week at the White House, and that's what he's going to continue to do. He's going to make excuses for the Muslims to be Muslims, which means hateful. I'm sorry to say it, but that's the way it is.
Let's send Obama to the mall, okay? He needs to go shopping.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if something were to ever happen to one of his daughters because of a Muslim, if he'd still have the same feeling. If, say, something like what happened to Kayla Mueller were to happen to Malia. Do you think?
Oh, come on. It'd be Bush's fault.
Yeah, of course it would be. All right, Diane, thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks. We really appreciate you so much. And enjoyed having dinner with you and Jim the other night.
Ditto.
And your lovely daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
Aw, thanks.
Yep, Carrie. Okay, all right, so when we come back, we're still looking for a winner for our Who Said That contest. Look upon the mount, and you may see the light. Who said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. All right, folks, when we come back, we got a great guest lined up, too.
Well, of course, we have the most gorgeous girl in wrestling coming
besides
up very soon.
Sunny.
That's at the top of the hour. I know that.
One.
Oh, well. We'll be back.
All right, we're back. That's right, folks. It's Sunday night, so you got us for 3 whole hours live from 5 to 8 p.m., and we're just getting going good. We're still looking, though, for a winner for our Who Said That contest. Who said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Look upon the mount, and you will find the answer. All right, so 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, Tuesday or Wednesday night at 7:30 Fashion Square Mall, you can see the American Sniper for free, compliments of Arms Room Radio. All you have to do is go to am660theanswer.com for the free tickets to either download them or print them out. And so please do that. All right, Christopher Hart, Lair Adams, Johnny Guns, Nostradamus in the studio, Jeff Sinis on the bridge, and it looks like we have our guest lined up, Nostradamus.
Let's go to her. You know, every Sunday we get our gorgeous lady of wrestling, Patricia Summerlin. But tonight we got a tag team. We got Roxy Astor on the line. Roxy, welcome to the American Adversaries. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing good.
Hey, thanks for being with us. So you're known as the Park Avenue Knockout, huh?
So I've been told, yes.
I guess that's double entendre there. You are a knockout, and you do knock them out, don't you?
I do, yeah. I tend to knock them out. I guess we didn't choose a name, so I'll go with that.
Just so you know, on our Facebook page, American Adversaries, we got a link to a video I found on YouTube of you smacking down Hollywood. That was a really
Ooh-hoo.
Fun match there.
Ooh. What do you mean smacking her down?
Okay.
Like,
pummeling her, okay?
Oh, okay. That's always good when I'm smacking down Hollywood.
So. Yeah, you were having your...
Her and Godiva.
Were they your big rivals?
Yes. Godiva was because she's got a mouth like me. And and she's strong. And I think we've had this battle going on since Globe, and we still kind of have we're what you call frenemies right now.
Right.
We don't know what we are. Like, I don't cross her, she doesn't cross me.
There
does that make sense?
It does.
Your frenemies closer, so yeah.
It's like the Real Housewives shows, yeah. Except you know, you actually have some skills.
Well, that's
my God. I mean, we opened the door for the housewives with our gossip.
Oh, you did. You opened a lot of doors. As a matter of fact, as the Glow Girls, gorgeous ladies of wrestling. But, you know, we say politics is a lot like professional wrestling, and you're with the frenemies, description there certainly, yeah. I think, describes politics. But how did you get involved in professional wrestling? What got you that always intrigues me as to why people choose to do that.
Well, and I love saying it because a lot of the fans, they don't know how I got involved. It's weird. Was I a wrestling fan? No, I had no clue. I was coming from Seattle, I was sitting there watching TV, and I was actually a Glow fan before I became Roxy Astor. I mean, so who would have thought that? So I'm watching Glow. I'm like, this is like the most awesome show I've ever seen. And you gotta understand, that was way back then when we didn't have channel changers, when we were on channel 11, you know.
You had like three channels, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. So, and that was, it was so over the top. And then it showed up on the TV, if you got what it takes, you want to be a Glow Girl, try out. And, you know, I thought back then I could do anything. I'm like, yeah, why not? Went to an audition on Sunset Boulevard, and that was it. I was in Vegas like 3 days later. It was like that quick. I'm sure they just didn't pick anybody. I found out there was, I think, around 3,500 girls that tried out. So the fact there was like maybe 100 that were, you know, in Vegas is amazing. And then I ended up taking Tina Ferrari's place, and I was actually a fan of hers.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, is that weird?
Had you been in athletics in growing up in high school or college or anything like that?
No, because I'm a hairdresser. But, yeah, I did a lot of the hair for Glow.
Is that right? Yeah.
I did. I gave Stinky her her look. I gave Gremlina her look. But, you know, I knew she was a bad girl, so I'd leave the bleach on a little extra long. So I had my ways of getting back at them.
I hear you. A little bleach.
You got to dress up the heel, too.
Yeah, I wanted to be a bad girl, so that was kind of my way to rebel.
I hear you. Well, now, you founded quite a successful career in Glow. Did you do any other wrestling besides the Glow campaign?
No, because I kind of felt like, okay, you know, Tina Ferrari was up there. She went to WWE and, you know, Ivory, you know, who can
right.
top that?
Right.
I kind of wanted to go out with GLOW. I didn't want to, a lot of the girls, they did POW, they did WOW. I kind of wanted to leave on top, so to speak. Like, if I couldn't do that and that was my character, I didn't want to do anything else. Some of the girls wanted to act, and I didn't. I actually started a family, so that was a lot of work.
Good for you.
And apparently a lot of the girls have done that, haven't they?
I did it, like, I think when they were still filming. And like I said, a lot of the girls went to POW or WOW, and they did that. I never wanted to do any of the wrestling besides that and just keep that name Roxy Astor. That was it.
Well, you know, what I find fascinating is, of course, a lot of little girls look up to lady wrestlers, and that must be pretty gratifying.
Not little girls and little boys.
And big boys, yeah.
Old men, young men, all walks of life, it's neat, but when you're saying little girls like little girls now, they look back, because we look like brat dolls, like full of makeup and glitter and, and I think that we missed out more than anything is actually having a character like a doll made of us. We were so close to that point.
Yeah, our friend Hacksaw Jim Duggan, he calls them action figures, not dolls.
Oh, God. No, I want a doll. I don't want to be an action figure. I want to be a doll.
A Roxy doll, not a Barbie.
I want a Roxy doll, yeah.
All right, well, you are a doll to us. If you hold on, I've got a caller on the line. We're doing a little contest. I want to get his guess here, and then we'll come right back to you, Roxy.
Okay.
Brandon thinks he knows who said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Brandon, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey, good evening. How are y'all doing?
Excellent. And yourself?
Doing fantastic. Thanks.
Have you ever won a Who Said That contest before?
Yes, I have.
It must have been a long time ago, though, because I don't recall your name. But
it was a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay. Well, certainly you qualify. So who said that, do you think?
I would say that due to the Civil War and the pressures from all that, that Abraham Lincoln was driven to his knees.
That was easy.
And due to the fact that he was a very, very religious man, you are absolutely right. He looked to God constantly for guidance, and thank God that he did, because he got the best.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right, Brandon. That was a good way to reason it out, and you will be going to Cafe Positano with a $20 gift card. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, fantastic. That would be tremendous.
All right, thanks. And I hope you enjoy the American Adversaries Army, too. We need good brains like yours in the fight with us. Thanks again for calling and being out there tonight, and congratulations.
I appreciate it. God bless y'all.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Okay. All right. So it was Abraham Lincoln who said that. Yeah. And that's, of course, the president that Barack Obama wanted to emulate.
Oh, sure. From Illinois.
Yeah. I guess he missed that part.
Well, they both had big ears.
Let's go back to Roxy now. Roxy Astor, the Park Avenue knockout, GLOW girl. And then you organized an after GLOW party. Roxy, why'd you do that?
Oh, I don't know. I started out, I think, the GLOW documentary was such a hit, and we still talk to, like, our fans on, and I call them friends, on Facebook, and they keep wanting to know, what happened there? Who did that? And most of them know more than I know, but a lot of our fans have become our friends. It's really weird. I mean, to have, like 12, 13 girls still talk and keep in touch. This is like 26, 27 years later.
Like high school reunion, kind of.
Yeah, well, the documentary was one, and so I kind of thought, okay, obviously I don't own the rights to GLOW. That's Ursula Hayden. So I thought, why not the afterglow? They want to know, hey, Roxy, what are you doing? Or Godiva or Little Egypt, what are you doing? So I'm like, okay, let's do a show. And I, called the fan party, but it had to start with a Kickstarter. And I raised the funds, went from there, and that was like in, I think, August. October 25th was a show, and then now the DVDs are almost done to be sent out.
Oh, that's great.
It was a lot of work.
Well,
and I got 11 girls together.
Yeah, well, believe you me, we know that as guys, right?
Oh, my God. But to get all the girls together for one night was really rare. But the show is so funny. The DVD is funny. I let the camera run, like, from three different angles. And we had Johnny C., who's the original ring guy from GLOW. He was there emceeing the show. and Godiva and Matilda and Major Tanya and MTV. I mean, there's Jail Date. It was so much fun.
That was her name.
So you're going to see the original girls, and then there's some bonus footage of some interviews of what they're doing.
You know, that's my favorite wrestling name in GLOW. Matilda the Hun.
Which one?
Matilda the Hun. I love that name.
Why? I thought it would be Jailbait.
Well, no, I thought he would like that too.
That's Bill Clinton's favorite.
Okay.
Hey, or Roxy, Michael Jackson.
Roxy, can you stay with us? Sonny's going to join us on the other side.
Yay.
All right, folks, please don't go away. We've got Roxy Astor with us. Sunny, our California Glow girl, we like to call her, is going to join us at the top of the hour. And you can join us, too, by simply calling 407-774-8255.
It's the American Adversaries, a three-hour tour, two down, one to go. But stick around, because there's a tag team of ladies waiting for you.
Oh.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we may be the champions of political professional wrestling, but I think we're severely outnumbered now. We have four guys, but I don't think we're any match for our guests. We have Roxy Astor, and coming on now, at this time, we always like to go out and say hello to Sunny, our California girl. How you doing, Sunny?
Hi, you guys. How are you?
We're doing great.
All right.
Hey, Sunny.
How is it in Florida? I dare say, is it sunny or is it cloudy?
It was beautiful today.
Beautiful today, sweetie.
Great day.
We had a great weekend. There's somebody on the other line, though, who wants to say hello to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, my other favorite Glow Girl.
Woo! Hi, Sunny.
Hi, Miss Roxy, Rich, and Foxy. How are you?
Oh.
Now, have you two
I'm
ever
good.
Been?
How are you?
Have you two
I'm
ladies?
I'm doing good. I'm out here in cloudy weather, though. I've been nice
Me
and cozy.
Me too.
Because it's going to rain here, actually, and then I guess snow has touched down, you know, in some areas, but not us.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Now, I think we're better off than a lot of places out there right now.
Now, got to ask.
Yeah, there's some serious blizzards.
Go ahead, Dennis. Dennis.
Yeah, have you ladies ever been in the ring together, either as partners or as opponents?
No, I don't think so. I think did we ever do a tag team match?
Yes, we've actually, I think you and I have only been in the Texas Tornado or the ring for the, what is it, Run for the Crown or all
Okay,
the...
what about the strip match? Did you do that
oh,
one?
What?
No,
yeah, I just woke
that.
Up.
It's on the Vegas
damn
strip.
Boys, damn boys.
Yeah, all I know is I'd
like. I think I was never really, you know, paired with too many. I just had Cheyenne Cher as Sonny and Cher after I lost my tag team Queenie. And, you know, and I think, Foxy, you were primarily either single or with Tiffany.
I was, single or with Tiffany. We did the Battle Royal together.
Yes,
Why
we did.
Why weren't you in a strip match? There was about eight of us.
Yeah. No, there was some good. I think we had one where all of us were in it.
Laugh.
There was
some laughs.
Hey, what was I going to ask?
I need the DVD.
I forgot.
I need to get the DVD.
You guys,
it was not so great because I think I was wearing 1980s pantyhose.
Those were like the super thick that you really got.
Yeah, it wasn't so hot, I hate to tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, those were the really nice, thick ones, and they like to climb. Yeah, that was really fun. Yeah.
Hey, climb, okay.
Oh,
yeah, I like that.
Our outfits weren't, the most wholesomest.
Yes.
They like to climb up and our butt cheek would show. It was like, really? Okay. And then you're in the middle of the movie and you can't do a darn thing about it.
It's funny. Like, TMI. Oh, my God.
Thank you. Keep talking.
See, yeah. Great. That's
why we watch professional wrestling, you see.
Hey, oh, my listen, gosh. I'm going to keep her on a leash.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
This was at the top of the list.
Yeah. Roxy, where are you at now? What are you doing with yourself now?
I am in L.A., and I'm a hairdresser and also working on some stuff with the Afterglow. And like I was saying, Sunny, Sally, the farmer's daughter, we are going to be, and Evangelina, from what I found out, Sunny.
Yeah, she's coming out.
Prove. At the Tulare Sci-Fi Con on March 7th and 8th. So you will see Sunny, Roxy Astor, Sally, the farmer's daughter, and Evangelina. Rare appearance. It's going to be very cool.
Oh, wow. I wish we could be there.
We'll be there.
Yes. It will be fun. It's Combat Radio Comic-Con, right? Is that what
it is? Yeah. Well, no, they're setting up and doing a radio from there. So So it's kind of an honor to be asked to go there. And I think it's going to be fun.
See, now that's where the action figures would come in handy.
I want to see Sunny in action, though, with her fans. Because she was so funny at the Afterglow. Oh, my gosh. He is a trip to watch.
Well, they've heard my knock knock jokes. I came on and
oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
He's the only one that could screw up a knock knock joke.
We know.
Oh, you know already.
Oh my. I am
true to my character.
She really is. I think I rewound that part like three times because I couldn't believe it.
I hear you. Well, you say you're in L.A. Of course, the Oscars are going on tonight. Do you get into that sort of thing at all?
I've had a few hair clients that go to it. Not really. I'm the type. I don't like to be in that crowd. I like to watch on my TV and watch, but... not really. I mean, people think because you live in L.A. that you're going to be there. I wouldn't go down there for nothing right now with the traffic. And now it's raining. Yeah. So I think it's just fun to watch it from the TV.
Yeah. Well, at least L.A. is getting some rain for a change. You sound like a down-home girl. You know, you say you're raising a family now and everything.
I'm not that down-home. What are you
talking about? I was going to say, are you missing the ring action at all?
Gosh, like Betty Crocker or something.
June Cleaver going on here, yeah. How many children do you have?
I have three. I have a 25-year-old son, and he was the reason why I stopped doing Glow. But I actually filmed something when I was pregnant. I took a few bumps when I was pregnant.
Is that right, boy?
Yeah. So 25, and then I have a daughter who's 23 who has been wrestling. She wrestled for Wrestlicious, and she is like a carbon copy of me. She walks
incredible.
Like me in the ring. Isn't she?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, and she's got a mouth like me. Go figure.
Yeah.
Well, and she's got a temp, everything exactly like me. I think she would be the next up-and-coming wrestler. But if Sonny's daughter would ever do it, oh, my God, they would make an amazing tag team.
Oh, I know. I had Shane in the ring once, and then she's like, it fizzled out real quick.
But my daughter still wants to do it. She's like, she's been doing it since she was 16. Every time Glow was going to revive. Uh-huh. She was going to be a part of it. And then remember how many times that's been?
Oh, I know.
It's coming back.
To do something like that, Rox, with all of us have our offspring and get them in the ring, even if it's just for one time.
But they, they don't want to do it, though. Like your daughter, does she want to do it?
She'll do it, sure. Yeah, if we get it alive, if there's the next generation Glow Girl, something like that, or after Glow Girl,
let's put it all together. Nostra Dennis can be the ring announcer. Yep.
Glow the next generation.
Here we go. Got to do another Kickstarter.
The rest of us will be managers. Each of us will manage one of you girls.
You could be the mouth of the South, Christopher Hart.
There you go. The mouth of LA.
How about if we do another strip match? How about that?
Love it. Love it.
So we can start there.
Yeah.
Florida's a great
Can we join the match?
Wait, are we making our daughters do a strip match?
Getting a little risque here. Hey, listen, we got a caller on the line that says, wait a minute, hold on. I'll get to that here in a second. By the way, folks, 407-774-8255 is the number. Roxy, when you get together with the other Glow girls, do you guys go out on the town afterwards? Or, I mean, does everybody know the Glow girls are back in town?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They hear us.
Yeah. And I think people, we get recognized. Like at the Tulare, I think we're all going to party after that.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
We can't be that bad because we got Evangeline after all. Isn't that funny? We have a heel and we're all baby faces, but we're a little
Listen,
bad.
Girls, you were talking about combat radio.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Are you ready for this? The guy that does combat radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is my brother's next door neighbor
in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles, yes.
You're talking about Ethan.
Yes.
Yes.
My brother just called in and said, yeah, he's my next door neighbor.
That's crazy. I've done a couple of radio shows with him, and he's such a great guy. He does a lot of fundraisers for children, and he is so on it. He's amazing.
Well, that's
awesome.
Great. That's great. Now you.
It's a small world after all.
You're gonna have to hook up with Lara's brother. There you go. Hey,
I gave a shout out to them, so that's even better.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, real quick, do you have a website or a Facebook page that people can visit you, Roxy?
I do. It's Roxy Astor. Just go. I talk to anybody. I'm not desperate. So
well, you're talking to us. That must prove something. Yeah.
But even on Facebook, I have the Afterglow fan party, like a like page. And I think we all talk to all of our fans on there. But that's where I'm at usually. So not a website or anything, but I'm just on Facebook.
Roxy, I got a question.
Guys, she did a terrific job. And I just want to commend Roxy for putting that Afterglow fan party together.
Oh,
and
thank you.
No, Roxy, you did a great job. And it's not easy because there's a lot of girls out there that don't want to be part of it anymore or be fans.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
He created such a great, our fans were there and it was so heartfelt and warm. And Roxy, if it wasn't for her doing this, we wouldn't have had that.
But if it wasn't for you girls, you were a good part of this. I want to let you know that, by the way.
Thank you. I loved it.
Yeah, she was. She kept, I was turning to her and going, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Are we selling tickets? And she'd always go, okay, I've got people going. I got that. So she was a really good soundboard.
Now, ladies, I have a question for Roxy. Now, you said you've been a Glow fan, and then you did hair for the girls as well. So you really know the behind-the-scenes stuff. I'm intrigued. I mean, the gorgeous ladies are wonderful, but I'm intrigued by the, I don't want to say they're not gorgeous, but they could rip a man's head off kind of lady wrestlers. I want to know who is your favorite can rip your head off lady wrestler from the Glow series?
Oh, gosh, I'm not going to say anybody could rip my head off. I think it could have been me ripping their head off.
No, the heels. We're talking about the heels.
Talk about the big bad mamas.
Been a bad girl. Yeah. But if I had to pick, I will say Beastie.
And that would be, I would second that.
Who was that?
I had to wrestle her
Beastie,
all the time.
Beastie, the Road Warrior. Yeah.
Beastie the Road Warrior.
And Nanichka. Nanichka was a toughie until she came over to our side. She was a toughie. You don't want to mess with her.
All right. Well, listen, it's tough, but we're running short on time. So, Roxy, thanks for being with us. We're going to have to do this again. You're a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks for having me, and look forward to doing it again. Love you, Sunny, and I will see you soon.
Love you much. We'll see each other soon. We're going to have a
all
fun
right.
time.
All right. Bye, guys.
All the fans will come out and see us and get this Afterglow fan party even bigger.
And let's And let's get that strip match organized.
In your heads, guys. In your heads, okay? In your dreams.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Roxy Astor. Hey Roxy,
right,
real quick.
You.
Roxy, before
Bye.
You go, Roxy, you still there?
Yep.
All right. I think Jeff got your information. We're going to send you a shirt. We're also going to send you something called Roxy Pacifics.
Oh, my God. It's the best. Roxy.
It is.
Wait, really?
Oh,
you named it after me?
Yeah. Well, babe.
I'm thinking you'd be the perfect spokesperson for this product.
I know.
Yeah,
gosh, bring it on.
Yeah, we're going to have to hook you up with Ed, Roxy, Ed, and Luann. This stuff, it's a kelp solution. It's a spray-on, like a squirt bottle, a mister, and it's for anything your skin.
Sore throats, I can vouch for that, Roxy. I've used it
I'm all over it. I'll spray from head to toe. Here we go.
All right. There you go. If you need anybody, spray it on your back. We got plenty of volunteers, so thank you.
Oh, thank you.
But It is really great stuff.
I'm excited.
All right. And so we want you to use it and then tell us what you think about it.
I will.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Roxy.
All right. Thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It. All right.
Bye-bye.
Love talking to you. By the way, folks, you can find Roxy Pacifics at fixtheskin.com, fixtheskin.com. And as Sonny said, you can use it on your throat. Larry uses it constantly on his throat. I do. And it's great for anything that involves your skin. As a matter of fact,
any part of your body. When we say any, we mean any part of your body.
Anywhere you can spray it, you can use it. And that includes your pets and your children as well. And we're looking for... The Roxys have sponsored two recruits to our American Adversaries Army. We've got one. We need another one. So what we're looking for is a unique use for Roxy Pacifics. You know, having to do something that you used it and you found it, that it worked for you, you haven't heard us talking about a burn or a cut, something unique. If you have a unique use for it and you'd like to tell us about it, call us at 407-774-8255. And out of those, we will pick someone who will be an American Adversaries Army recruit, compliments of the Roxys. And you really like the stuff, Rosani.
Oh, I love it. Are you kidding? I use it when you guys told me about the sunburn, which I was putting some aloe on when I was doing that suntan thing, and I just really, wow.
It drinks it right up.
I was cooled down. It's amazing stuff. Yeah. I've used it on, I had a hangnail, even.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and it actually, and it was bleeding. I'm like, oh, my God, it wouldn't stop bleeding. I sprayed that on, and it took away the pain, and even it was swelling, and it took the swelling down.
It's an antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, and that's what we're looking for, something unique like that.
I bit my tongue really badly, and it bled for an hour.
Ow.
I finally held Roxy in my mouth for about 5 minutes, and it stopped the bleeding. But I got
to,
Sonny, on a political question for you, I know you kind of support Hillary Clinton, but let me ask you this. Is Barack Obama doing everything he can to keep her from winning the presidency?
Oh,
I mean, this guy is, he's making mistakes left and right, and he's leaving her. He's leaving her with a legacy. I don't know what she's going to do with it.
I don't know. You know what? I don't even know what's going to happen right now. I want to say goodbye to Mr. Obama.
Bye. The whole country does.
You and a whole lot of other people.
Liberals and conservatives,
I'm not
both.
Happy with them just because of the immigration crap. And none of us here in Arizona, by the way, they're fighting back with him strong here.
Yeah.
So,
And foreign policy.
Yeah.
We've got way too many here, and he wants to keep them here? No, that's not going to go.
No, it's...
Oh, yeah, they're not happy. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Sheriff Opeo, he's like,
Yeah.
I'm done.
Hey, listen, Sonny, we got to take a break, but I want you to stay through the break because I got another question or two before we let you go tonight, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, don't go away, folks. We're still got, another 3/4 of an hour to go, almost. 407-774-8255 is the number. Don't forget John Butler Book coming up live at 8 on 950.
And warning, Johnny Guns is coming up. He's ready to shoot.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Don't forget John Butler Book coming up at 8 o'clock along with Arms Room Radio. Excuse me, Armed American Radio with Mark Walters.
You used to call
They're going to find
America,
you each time.
I know. I keep getting mixed up.
Arms Room Radio is actually sponsoring one of the sponsors of our American Sniper.
That's right.
That's right. Tuesday or Wednesday, you can join us. I'll be there Tuesday. Tuesday and Wednesday at the Fashion Square Mall, 7:30, free. American Sniper, the movie. All you have to do is go to am660theanswer.com to download or print out your free ticket to either night. And you can have already seen the movie. That doesn't matter. This is for anybody who wants to see it.
It's free. You can't beat the prize.
Yeah, exactly. There are 210 seats in the theater at the Fashion Square there where they're going to present the movie. So you'll definitely want to get there early. It starts at 7:30 Tuesday and Wednesday this coming week. And So do take advantage of that, and we had some listeners call, and they're going to meet us there Tuesday night. We actually have a couple more pairs of tickets to give away, so if you'd like to meet us there Tuesday night, this is for the Tuesday night showing, I have two pairs of tickets to give away. Call Jeff right now at 407-774-8255.
May see us there, too.
And I will be there with the tickets in my hand for you. All right, so I want to go back to Sonny. Sonny, you mentioned Sheriff Joe Arpaio before the break. He's up for election. Is that election getting a lot of local media attention yet?
Oh, yeah, because he's made a name here strongly in itself. I don't wear pink because of him. I had my pink tennis shoes on the other day, and everyone was staring at me. Other than I thought, well, God, do I look that good today or what?
Maybe they thought you don't agree with him? Maybe they thought you had broken out of jail, right?
Right? That's what I was thinking, because the guy goes, yeah, well, you know what happens when you wear pink. That's what sheriff puts you in there. You got to wear pink.
What do you think about that, Larry?
Okay, so that's the last time I'm wearing those tennis shoes.
Well, Larry just asked, what do you think about the sheriff making the inmates wear pink like that?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think humility is it works in great ways. And if you've got a tough criminal out there that is, you know, a sex offender, rapist, or child molester, I believe every bit of pink, far short of, you know, cutting off their yin-yangs.
Well, you know what, Sonny?
Honestly, I think pink will do, you know, Sonny, the body good and the mind, hopefully, before they get out of that, you know.
Sonny, I got to tell you something. Like you, I have a daughter. And I go over the top. I mean, I'm not talking over the top rope. I get almost dangerous with the idea of someone hurting my daughter. She's a grown woman. I'm sure you feel the same way too.
Oh yes.
And I got to wonder about any
all the time. I am
our political system right now that okays this stuff, and they're trying to make it younger. There are people trying to make the age of consent 14.
Oh, that's just not right. That is wrong.
It's disgusting. It's amoral.
All right. Real quickly, we only have a couple of minutes left, Sonny. Your feelings about the Oscars. Are you watching it all tonight? Do you have any favorites?
Oh, I think Boyhood. Oh, my God. Excellent actors. Julianne Moore, I think, wonderful. You know, Meryl Streep, no matter what she does, I think she should always win because she's my fave.
Everything.
She's already out there, and she's, you know, got her recognition. But
What about best picture?
Michael Keaton. I think, that's tough. But I think let's go with American Sniper.
Hey, there you go.
Okay, and you're saying best actor probably Keaton?
Keaton's good, too.
I think he's probably going to pull it out because of his years in the Academy.
Oh, yeah. I do think so.
Yeah, because he was snubbed for Mr. Mom, so it's about time he gets
it.
For Batman.
Even in that wonderful world of acting.
Yeah.
Just as we know it. So,
Have you seen?
The ballots, the votes come in, but, you know, they say it's a people's choice, but who knows? I think it's a tough contender from movie to movie. We shall see.
All right. Sonny, we're going to have to let you go there. We're all out of time, but I had a lot of fun tonight talking with you and Roxy, and we'll look forward to talking to you next Sunday.
It was great. I kind of like that stripping in the ring type stuff again. Yeah, I remember we had the strip match. Yeah, that was funny.
Yes.
We will have to talk about that further, guys, next week. Have a wonderful sunny week and sunny smiles.
I'm a contender for that match.
We will be investigating that thoroughly, yes. All right, thanks, Sonny. Have a great week.
Sonny, let me tell you, they actually wear 12 layers of clothing, so it takes a while to get in.
Hey, that's what makes it fun, right? Anticipation.
2 hours strip poker.
All right, folks, anticipation for John Butler Book. He's in the studio. He'll be live at 8 o'clock. We still got WTF News.
He's got his clothes on, too.
We got Lara's closing comments, and we got you for another half hour, I hope. And if you're on your way home from the Daytona 500, I hope you had a lot of fun. We'll be right back.
That's right, Sonny, and thank you for stimulating our brains tonight.
I guess
well
I don't
your
stimulate.
Fellow wrestler, Roxy Esther. Johnny, you stimulate
I
lots
don't
of things.
I stimulate
we'll say
her
that.
At all.
You know, the world sometimes is crazy, black is white, up is down, good is evil, and sometimes you just have to say to yourself, WTF! Especially on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But on Sunday night, Johnny Guns brings us WTF! News.
Thank you, Mr. Stradenis. Now, first I have to start off with a little shout-out. I have to say a big thank you to Amy and Brandy at Summit Lake Mary for teaching me some cool new abrevs this morning that all the cool people are saying.
Abrevs?
Abrevs, yes. And I've been challenged to use them this week, so in an effort to make me sound even more cool, if that's even possible. Here's WTF and the most adubs stories I could find this week.
Oh.
All right, here we go. Starting off with Did you hear this? Elsa, the icy heiress from Disney's Frozen, is wanted in Harlan, Kentucky, where police officers are fed up with the wintry winter. Yep, Kentucky. On the Harlan City Police Department website, this was their Facebook page. They put out this all points bulletin. HPD has issued an arrest warrant for Queen Elsa. The suspect is a blonde female last seen wearing a long blue dress. As you can see by the weather, she is very dangerous. Do not attempt to apprehend her alone. Now, spoiler alert for those of you that haven't seen the movie. Elsa, from Frozen, she retreats to a snowy mountaintop where she loses control of her icy powers and accidentally sends the kingdom of Arendelle into perpetual winter. The lighthearted post was shared more than 10,000 times on Facebook, with commenters calling on authorities to watch out for Elsa all over the country, wrote one commenter. She was spotted in Grantsville, Maryland, bringing wind and snow and 20 to 30 degrees below zero. Send her to Florida. Oh, Maryland Facebook commenter. I guess they don't know that Elsa's kind of a big fan of Florida, especially the Orlando area and one particular theme park. When asked for comment, Elsa responded with a smile saying, "Let it go, let it go." And sorry, Kentucky, she spitefully finished, "Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway."
You got to watch out for them girls in blue dresses.
You have some experience with them?
What are you talking about there? Yeah. I don't know anything about it.
I see. Where are you going? What was that?
I better shut up. Go on, Johnny. Say something else before I say something.
Moving from Kentucky to Maryland, let's see. Maybe they could send this something in the second story over to Kentucky to help unbury them from some snow.
Yeah.
A Maryland man is clearing snow from Bethesda's sidewalks with a snowplow he made out of a toilet. David Goldberg, owner of the Union Hardware store, said he created the motorized commode dubbed Lucille, or Lucy for short. He did it for a parade last summer, and he's taking his snow-blowing stool out of the garage once again to clear snow from the sidewalks. He said, "This is Lucy, our motorized toilet. We just added a snowplow, and we're ready for tomorrow's snow." Goldberg posted a video of the motorized toilet moving snow to YouTube, and he has said that the toilet has a hybrid engine, but come on. We all know that thunder snow throne is gas powered.
You know, I'd heard of toilet seat with the seat warmers and you know, all these fancy push buttons. Never heard of motorized one.
All right, we're going to finish up with a little bit of a love story. You know, Valentine's Day was last week, so we're going to end this on a good note.
Yeah.
Arkansas Walmart employee accepted an on-camera proposal from an unexpected suitor, the ex-husband she divorced 43 years ago. Louis Dimitrides and Renee Stumpf, both 75, said they divorced 43 years ago, but they rekindled their friendship in December when Louis called Renee for some help contacting one of their three children. Renee was shocked when Louis, who lives in Tennessee, visited the Walmart store where she works in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and this was this past Saturday with a sign reading, "Happy Valentine's Day, will you marry me?" Mm-hmm. Stumpf said that her initial reaction was no, but that was just meant to tease her suitor. She quickly amended the answer to yes, but not today. She told ABC News, 43 years is a long time, so I wasn't sure at first, but I will marry him, though, because he's changed for the better. That's a beautiful story. They divorced at age 32. Hadn't been in contact for 43 years. They rekindle their relationship. They've been going out, 3 months? And they're going to get remarried after all this time.
Yeah, he heard she was getting a raise.
But you know what else this shows that's also beautiful?
What's that?
Is that ladies, men can change. It'll take us 43 years.
Think of this, guys.
But men can change.
When they they split up, Nixon was in his first term.
That's right, 43 years ago. All right, thank you, Johnny Guns.
You're welcome.
I've got one or two. Have you heard about the mice munchies?
mice munchies?
That's right.
I don't know, man. You got any more pizza here?
It's kind of that. The scientific community has found it necessary to determine why people who smoke marijuana get the munchies.
So they made a study up. Right?
So they came up with a study to determine why people who smoke pot get the munchies, and they used mice in the test. And they had the theory that because of a certain receptor in your brain that tells you when you're full, when you're eating.
Yeah.
That marijuana must have an effect on that receptor that subdues it or somehow restricts it and turns it off, so to speak, so that you just keep eating even after you're full. Well, it turns out that the research showed the opposite. That when people and mice who were injected with THC are affected by the THC, actually this receptor is working harder than ever. So they have still not determined why people get the munchies when they smoke marijuana. At last check, though, they were trying hard to determine as smoke was wafting out of the research laboratory.
they were doing this research on mice? You said?
On mice, yes. Yeah.
This study brought to you by Cheetos, right?
Yeah, actually, Chris, I think years ago here in Florida, it was determined that the ice cream chain Zips, remember them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They were the cause of munchies. Yes, Rico, with a long bar of stuff you put on your ice cream, it was horrible. Thank God they went out of business. Right. Thank God.
And one last WTF news story that confirms that, yes, bigger is better.
I knew that.
I don't need a study to tell me that.
When it comes to explosive-laden hammers...
Wow. Or headaches.
In a little town called San Juan de la Vega, Mexico, every year on Fat Tuesday, the youths and the men, youths and the men in the town affix explosives to sledgehammers. You may have seen some of the videos of this, and then they whack the hammer on the ground in order to detonate the explosive. And
okay.
The person who can make the biggest and the baddest explosive, of course, is the biggest baddest. In town. What is it? Leroy Brown? They get the Leroy Brown Award.
Except he becomes lefty from that point on.
Missing a few limbs.
And every year, of course, as you might imagine, people are injured with this practice.
Sure.
No.
But it is, in some sense, to some of them, it is a calling as Gustavo... Lord, I can't pronounce his last name. Jorgui? Anyway, as Gustavo says, they do it out of devotion. A devotion to the town and its traditions. And when it comes to explosives, anyway, in the town of, what I call it again? What'd they say it was again? What's this town? De La Vega, Mexico?
See?
San Juan de la Vega, Mexico. Bigger is better. When it comes to explosions. All right, bigger is better is also when it comes to the American adversary's army. The bigger, the better, folks, because the bigger our army, the more we can do. And the army is growing. We'd like it to grow faster, but it is growing, and we appreciate each and every one of you has recruited yourself into our army. For those of you who have not, it's very easy. Simply go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, follow the prompts to the recruiting office, and join up the army. It's real easy, and it's inexpensive. It's only $4.97, $5 a month, and you'll get our newsletter, the first one of which is out. The second one will be coming out now in just a couple of weeks. We're already beginning to work on it. And but you can't get these newsletters, which are loaded with coupons and discounts for our sponsors, unless you join the American Adversaries Army. So please do that. Go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And as I said, follow the prompts to the recruiting office and join with us as we continue the fight for truth and justice in the American way. I mean, yeah, there you go. I mean, we want to continue what we're doing. We would like your help. It would make it a lot easier. We could go a lot farther. We could do a lot more. We have opportunities that we're looking at right now, but we need your help to take advantage of them. We really do. So be a part of what we're doing and enjoy being a part of it by going to theAmericanAdversariesRadio.com.
And, folks, I got to tell you, I was bloodied and bruised after going through the boot camp. for the American adversaries. But it was well worth it. Join up.
Answer.
And Johnny Guns, welcome back to the American Adversaries, ladies and gents. This is the time we all listen up for Lair's closing comments.
Oh, can I do it falsetto? Oh, sorry. Well, my biological essay is a tribute tonight to one of America's most famous, beloved, and well-known, wait, I just said that, authors, W. Epaminondas Adrastus Blab. What? Come on, that name doesn't ring a bell. I got to tell you, he's responsible for so much of this nation's wonderful literature. Well, maybe you'll remember him from other names he's written under, such as Thomas Jefferson Snodgrass. No? How about Sergeant Fathom? Or the infamous Rambler? And I don't mean a car. Actually, his most famous pen name that you'll recognize was Mark Twain. Yes, Samuel Langhorne Clemens was born in, are you ready for this? Florida in 1835. Actually, Florida, Missouri. And yes, it's true, just 2 weeks after Halley's Comet's drive-by. It was a time when simple diseases killed many, even the strong. At age 11, Samuel lost his father to pneumonia, which had earlier taken three of his siblings. Forced to quit school to take an apprentice job as a typesetter, he made a commitment to spend as much evening time in the library as possible. Soon he was writing articles, drawing political cartoons, destined to become a great journalist. But no, he met his great love, the river. And the mastery of the river was river boating. The life of the paddle wheeler became an all-consuming passion, which was perfect for a man who was already known for his incredible memory. It is said he memorized every bit of 2,000 miles of shoreline and moving riverbeds. Imagine how many times he heard the depth soundings. Mark 1, too shallow at 1 fathom or 6 feet for a riverboat. Mark Twain, 2 fathoms. Mark Tari for 3, and so forth. The reason Samuel Clemens picked Mark Twain is that the phrase also means safe to sail. Life on the river was good. That is, till the outbreak of the Civil War, the paddle wheel industry collapsed, and Clemens did what any intelligent, entrepreneurial young man who just spent years on the river would do. Move to the Nevada desert and become a silver prospector. This is one of those good plan, didn't work moments for our hero. So to support himself, he got a job as a journalist. This was a plan that did work. After a while at the paper, he penned the famous story, The Celebrated Jumping Frog of Calaveras County. Soon after, a larger newspaper hired Samuel and sent him to the far points of the globe for his incredible travelogues. Even while in the Middle East, he was working on at least one of his 28 published books. They include The Innocents Abroad, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, and what many greats in literature have said is the first great American novel, Huckleberry Finn. And that includes Ernest Hemingway. He was a gentleman who loved cats, was often branded as a liberal, for his absolute hatred of slavery. In an uncanny forecast of his own future, Clemens stated, "I came in with Halley's Comet in 1835. It is coming again next year, and I expect to go out with it. It will be the greatest disappointment of my life if I don't go with Halley's Comet." Sure enough, in 1910, the day after the comet's closest path, he suffered a heart attack and died. An asteroid is named in his honor, 2362 Mark Twain. Now, I prefer another quote by this great author. 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So throw off the bow lines. Sail away from safe harbor. Catch the trade winds in your sails. Explore, dream, discover. Remember, friends, Mark Twain means safe to sail.
Excellent, Lair. Excellent work. Once again, folks, that's the kind of stuff you'll find at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. All right, don't forget Tuesday night, Wednesday night, free showings of American Sniper at the Fashion Square 14. All you have to do is go to AM660TheAnswer.com to download or print out your free tickets. I hope I'll see you there Tuesday night. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up and leave you with a little Bad Company tonight as we go out of here. And then don't forget, John Butler book is coming up next at 8 o'clock on 950 WTLN and Armed American Radio live from 8 to 11 on AM660 The Answer. Don't forget, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Please join. Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, Lair Adams.
See you tomorrow!